Chapter 1. Black Rifle Coffee Company threatens to dox Alex Jones.
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I think I made my point pretty clear the first time I covered the BRCC people that work there, the dude bro veterans that work there. I think first and foremost, you would be making a huge mistake if you view veterans as a monolith. If you don't think that there are like SJW vets, if you don't think that there are people who are, anti-pew-pew vets, you've got another thing coming. I've interacted with one of the biggest blue-haired crybabies in history, John Phipps, former. He's a vet. He's a buff dude. And he's also one of the most mentally fragile people I've ever interacted with. This guy's a video games journalist who complained about pixels in Call of Duty triggering him. Okay, they exist. Now, I do think that the overwhelming majority of troops are not little delicate snowflakes who use terminology like incel to describe their haters. But the folks over at BRCC clearly have let the mask slip, and now these dudes go on a podcast and manage to make themselves look worse by literally saying that they're going to release Alex Jones's personal information. It wasn't like an allusion to it. It was a direct threat by a man associated with BRCC, Black Rifle Coffee, who was sat right next to the executive vice president of BRCC, who agreed with him. What was this in response to? Well, because these two gentlemen can't talk, can't string two words together without putting an expletive in between them, you'll have to take my word for it. The interview's out there. I'll show you the relevant parts. But essentially, they're talking about they got some mean messages from people back in September. I don't doubt that they took some heat back when they stood against a man's right to protect himself. It's not a good look for a company that preyed on conservatives and patriotism to get super rich. Wasn't a good look. I can't say that they for sure didn't get all these type of mean things sent to them, but as far as I can tell, they haven't published any of them. I would argue that just like any, for example, when I talk about a lot of these female developers who say, I get endless threats from incels in their basements and never publish them. Or when they do, it's like one clearly anon account sending something stupid. So I would like first and foremost to invite Jared Taylor of the executive vice president of BRCC to come on my show. I've DM'd him directly. He has not responded. It's been about, 8 hours at this time, so I really can't wait any longer. And I would love to talk to him or Matt at BRCC. I made that very public on Twitter. I've extended the invitation multiple times, so I don't want to appear as if I'm not giving them an opportunity to say their piece. Do I believe that the New York Times twisted things that they said? Of course I believe that's possible. But it seems like on their little redemption tour here, when they did their little softball interview with Dana Loesch, and now they went on the Drinking Bros, which is hosted by the former the former vice president of marketing for BRCC, Daniel Holloway, and the obviously bringing on the executive vice president, they go on this show and manage to make themselves look even worse with the former VP of marketing saying that he wants to dox Alex Jones because people sent him mean things. That was his logic. I'm not kidding. His logic was, people, like the Proud Boys sent me mean words, so I'm going to dox Alex Jones. He literally said that right next to the executive vice president. And the executive vice president's response was, well, he's got a point. Even when the other host of the podcast was like, bro, you can't be doxing people. That's stupid. He doubled down on it. The former vice president of marketing from Black Rifle Coffee is the co-host of this podcast. And he is the one that is saying, yeah, I'm going to dox that guy, Alex Jones. And then here on his left is the executive vice president of Black Rifle Coffee laughing and agreeing with him. Again, over, I guess, the Proud Boys sending him mean tweets or something like that. Now, of course, it doesn't take a brainiac to point out that. So if it was wrong when they were publishing your people's personal information, then why is it okay for you to do it? Their entire justification was, oh, that these people were doxing our employees. Again, no evidence of that, not even a blurred out screenshot. But because of that, I'm going to dox Alex Jones, who had nothing to do with it. This guy on the right is a soy. He comes across as super soy. He's a buff guy. He probably handle himself just fine in a fight, but mentally he's weak. You don't hear a lot of conservatives calling their detractors incels, okay? But that's who this guy is. But let's just, and I apologize for some of the language here, but you know, these are vets, and so I mean, you know, I'll try to clean up what I can, but it's literally every other word. So this guy, again, VP of marketing for Black Rifle Coffee, this guy, executive vice president, Black Rifle Coffee. Now, he has recently left the company to focus on this terrible podcast, but these guys are very well connected. So let's hear what they have to say.
Because you wanted it to be true, because you're a hater.
Again, he's talking about people that didn't like the New York Times piece and were upset about it. This is his reaction, calling people, you know, little bees and haters and incels.
That's an incel. Literally,
I mean, you don't hear conservatives talking like that. You don't hear normal people in the center talking like that. You know who calls their haters incels? Blue-haired losers. That's just dye your hair blue already, bro.
Mom's basement. You've not achieved in your life. And half of these, like that fat Alex Jones down the road here. And by the way, I'm going to publish his fucking address soon.
I'm going to publish his address soon. No hesitation, right? executive vice president sat there and laughed about it. No disavowal for that.
Talking all in.
The other guy on the other side of the camera, you can't really hear it, saying, you can't be doxing people. And his reply is, no, F him. I'm going to dox him.
Calling them cowards? Are you kidding me? This dude hasn't lifted one of his fat sausage fingers in defense of this.
Just because you serve doesn't mean I have to automatically respect your opinions. I can appreciate your service. But that is such a pathetic cop-out. You're not allowed to have an opinion because you didn't serve. That's the same energy as like a former NFL player getting butthurt that he, or an NFL player getting butthurt that he got critiqued because the journalist never played the game. It doesn't work like that. You don't get to automatically invalidate your critics simply because they didn't do the same job as you, bro.
My man,
we just can't dox he's got anybody. It.
He's got. He said so. Somebody on the other side, I think it's the other co-host, saying you just can't dox people.
Got a point, though. I absolutely will.
He says he's got a point though, and then he says I absolutely will publish Alex Jones's personal information.
He's not entitled when all of his Proud Boy followers are out there looking up his address and Evan's address and Matt's address and just regular employees of the company's addresses and putting them online along with their personal, not business.
By the way, no evidence for any of this. Not a shred. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying you didn't prove it. You didn't have a screenshot. You didn't have an archive. You didn't post it after you did this interview. Okay? And you're saying because my Proud Boys, I'm going to dox Alex Jones. I assume they filmed this like in Austin because they've got Tito's there and they've got Texas stuff. and I know Alex is down there. You can see the comments. The two men were given the opportunity to set the record straight. Instead, they dug their hole deeper. They're arrogant and they think their company's infallible. They take joy in insulting people. One, the excuse, look at this comment. The excuse that at the very least you needed to do an interview to get your brand, especially a foundation for vets out there, is sus as heck. Because firstly, do you actually believe that the New York Times or the majority of those that read it give one single F about vets? Those that think the New York Times is hard-hitting factual information are the same sort of people that spit on vets and scream blood for oil. You know it. I know it. Everyone with a brain cell knows it. Next off, why did a number of you admit, I forget the actual number, post the article in Twitter without a single demand for retractions or clarifications? Post it as is, not a single stink given. That is until people leapt at you. As a no-shame garbage heel on the internet, my advisement to you is you done messed up and you got taken for a ride, but you should publish both sides of the screenshots. JT is talking about as well as a full transcript in the interview in question. Transparency would be your friend in this regard, but there's a demand of retraction and clarification for statements made by the New York Times. If you had to, take them to court, because this, at a time like this, a number of people, despite them having no faith in the New York Times, have lost faith in your brand. Keep in mind that you guys wade into the culture war of your own volition. No one forced you to. So you need to make declarative statements on a few topics until you do so, and not in corpo speak. You will simply look like you were chasing a means to expand your market. And I'll leave it there, because that's exactly what these clowns did. They're welcome to come on my show and prove me wrong, but this is the third time now that they've tried to clarify things and only double down more.
Chapter 2. Scarlett Johansson sues Disney over Black Widow performance and Disney Plus contract negotiations.
What's going on, everyone? And you! Whoa! Things are getting spicy for the failure, the cinematic failure of a fine movie. I know a lot of people are like, hey, but Jeremy, Black Widow was an okay movie. Why are you being such a wiener? I get it. I understand. I don't think there's anything inherently terrible about the movie. I like Scarlett Johansson. I just really hate Disney. I mean, can you just give me that? I'll give you enjoying Black Widow. I'm not here to say the movie's the worst thing ever. It's a middle-of-the-road Marvel movie. Mediocre to slightly above average. That's what the Marvel formula will give you these days. There are some cringe moments, but the movie is fine. There's nothing inherently awful about it. If you liked it, that's cool. You know who didn't like it? Scarlett Johansson. After the film tanked at the box office, she is now suing Disney because it failed so hard. I am not kidding. Here's the article. Scarlett Johansson sues Disney over Black Widow streaming release. Star alleges simultaneous release of the latest Marvel movie in theaters and on Disney Plus was a breach of contract. Now, I am sure that Scarlett Johansson has some sort of performance clause in her contract, and that's what this is really about. It's about money. But what an embarrassment. I mean, if we look at the way the box office has been for Black Widow, final Black Widow box office, absolutely dismal for the recent MCU. This is yesterday. The Black Widow box office saga continues. This is Marvel's latest movie, looks to end its theatrical run. After a solid opening, following its July 9th debut in theaters and on Disney Plus premiere, the Florence Pugh and the Scarlett Johansson-led film faltered in what was referred to as the most stunning crash in Marvel Cinematic Universe history. The first film in MCU's Phase 4, previous Phase 4 entries included streaming series WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Loki. It served as the origin story for Johansson's Natasha Romanoff, or Black Widow, giving Marvel fans the first real glimpse at her childhood and how she became a deadly Russian assassin trained in the Red Room. Although some moviegoers were disappointed by the low-stakes film, please, every Marvel movie is low stakes, all right? And I'm saying that as a general fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're all low stakes. This has been like the primary critique I've had about Marvel since Jump Street. It's like watching the A-Team or G.I. Joe. A bazillion bullets fly around, but everyone survives. Now we have details about Black Widow's final box office take, which looks as though it will rival early MCU movies, but will fall dismally below blockbusters like Infinity War, The Infinity War Saga, and Avengers Endgame. It wasn't going to outdo Endgame or Infinity War. I've got to be like fair here, you know? So, different movie world for Black Widow, but it looks like its domestic box office run in the same $175 million, $180 million as the very first Captain America, Ant-Man, and the Thor movies. Ticket prices were less back then, but they also didn't have to deal with lockdowns and everything else, like an in-home release. To put that in perspective, March 13th, 2021, Avengers Endgame had amassed $2.7 billion. That's nearly $2.8 billion at the global box office, while its predecessor, Avengers Infinity War, grossed $2 billion. But again, it's not fair to compare to have the same expectations for Black Widow as Infinity War or Endgame. That's not fair. But I did predict, and I stand by that, the billion-dollar Marvel movie era is done. It's over with. I don't think you're going to see a billion-dollar Marvel movie in our era. Maybe Spider-Man, if it gets a worldwide theatrical release. But zoinks. I mean, Marvel's next project is What If, the animated series premiering on Disney Plus, and the next upcoming film is Tom Holland and Zendaya's Spider-Man No Way Home, December 17th. I actually think that's going to also do very bad, and here's why. And not because of, the movie itself, but because you're going to have winter time again. So it's cold. Less people want to go to the movies. On top of that, it's flu season, so people are going to be sick and even more timid about going to the theaters. Ms. Johansson said in the suit that her agreement with Disney's Marvel Entertainment guaranteed an exclusive theatrical release, and her salary was based in large part on the box office performance of the film. See, this is something that Disney probably could have gotten away with. Maybe they saved $10 million on the cost because Scarlett's got so much backloading, giggity, on her salary. Quote, Disney intentionally induced Marvel's breach of agreement without justification in order to prevent Ms. Johansson from realizing the full benefit of her bargain with Marvel, the suit said. The suit could be a bellwether for the entertainment industry. Major media companies are prioritizing their streaming services in the pursuit of growth, and are increasingly putting their high-value content on those platforms. Those changes have significant financial implications for actors and producers who want to ensure that growth in streaming doesn't come at their expense. This will surely not be the last case where Hollywood talent stands up to Disney and makes it clear that whatever the company may pretend, it has a legal obligation to honor its contracts, said John Berlinski, an attorney at Kazowitz Benson Torres LLP, who represents Ms. Johansson. Look, I mean, I think, what we have here is a pretty obvious situation where this contract was probably negotiated long before theaters worldwide were shut down, and there were expectations of box office, and that was baked into Scarlett's contract, a contract that was never reworked when they decided to release it on Disney Plus. You would think once Scarlett had gotten wind of this, and maybe that's the case, she would have immediately went back to them and said, like, yo, you can't do this. Or, hey, that's fine. Let's say she stood to make another $10 million if it made, $600 million, $700 million, okay? And she can, look at that and say, like, hey, I would have done that if, $30 million wasn't made on Disney Premiere and then opening it up to pirating worldwide. You'd think that Disney, if they cared about women as much as they say they do, would have proactively negotiated that, would have went out and said this isn't okay. We see this is going to be a potential problem. Let's renegotiate. We need to do this. It's a different world, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't. Warner Media chose to renegotiate many of its talent contracts, like Ms. Johansson's deal with Marvel, were tied to box office performance. Warner Brothers paid more than $200 million to talent as a part of the amended agreements. Ms. Johansson has been an integral part of the Marvel Universe since appearing as Black Widow in Iron Man 2. Her presence has grown significantly since then as a member of the Avengers squad of heroes. According to the complaint, Ms. Johansson's representative sought to renegotiate her contract after learning of the dual release strategy. Okay, so now we know. Which she said is her ninth and last Marvel movie. Disney and Marvel were unresponsive. The decision to put the movie on Disney Plus is projected to have cost Ms. Johansson more than $50 million. $50 million is what she lost. Even before lockdown, Ms. Johansson was concerned that the Black Widow could end up on Disney Plus as a part of its release. In 2019, Ms. Johansson's representatives reached out to Marvel seeking assurance that Black Widow would have a theatrical-only release, according to the complaint. In March 2019, the email included the suit Marvel Chief Counsel Dave Galuzzi, and release would be according to traditional theatrical model, adding, "We understand, should the plan change, that we will need to discuss this with you and come to an understanding as a deal is based on a series of very large box office bonuses." During opening weekend, Black Widow grossed $80 million at domestic box office and $78 million overseas and generated $60 million from $30 at-home purchase on Disney Plus. It was the first time Disney's broke out a film streaming performance in such detail. Disney's shares ticked upwards, on that news on Monday. The movie's theatrical performance fell in subsequent days more sharply than most Marvel films. Some analysts and executives in Hollywood questioned whether making the movie easy to watch at home was hurting the box office. The National Association of Theater Owners, a lobbying group for exhibitors, called the performance disappointing and anomalous, and proof that exclusive theatrical releases were the most profitable approach. Actually, you don't know that, because when they get $30 on Disney Plus, Disney gets all $30. When you buy a $15 movie ticket, Disney might get $6 of that, $7 of that. It's going to be tough. And this movie did not perform well. And what a stain on the end of the franchise. You know, I don't think there was anything, you know, huge to hold against Scarlett, you know, for the film's release. There were several things that, you know, quite frankly, she couldn't control. I mean, the fact that there was like 2 years between Endgame and this movie allowed the whole world to kind of get over cape stuff. And I think that's really a big part of it. There's no stakes. Black Widow absolutely should have come before Endgame, I would think, or very closely afterwards. It was a complete afterthought, and with much of the world kind of having experienced this conclusion of this grand story they've been following, there wasn't a lot of reason to go see Black Widow outside of either really loving the character, which a lot of people do, or wanting to support Scarlett Johansson, which is kind of what was motivating me to see it. I didn't really, you know, Black Widow's a fine character, but I was like, yeah, like, you know, Scarlett Johansson's not like a woke idiot, although now she is. So I'll go see it. Then she did all those press tours and I was out. But this is an ugly future, I think, an embarrassing one for Disney, especially now that this lawsuit's going to get drug out and we're probably going to see the real cost of the movie and the real earnings of it, which are probably far worse than we think.
Chapter 3. Doctor Who lead Jodie Whittaker quits the show after legendarily poor ratings.
If only there were a saying to describe what is happening with Doctor Who. It's like four words. I just can't think about. I can't think of it. Maybe you can help and type it in the comment section down below. By the way, if you're not currently subscribed, I hope today will be the day to earn your subscription. There's a red subscribe button down below the video. Pushing hard, grinding hard. I hope you appreciate it, and I hope I earn your subscription. Now, if you've been following the troubling trend with Doctor Who, you had a feeling this was coming. Ratings falling to 32-year lows as a result of a wide variety of things that we're going to discuss. And today, and probably the lowest low, Jodie Whittaker has quit. It got so bad, she's quitting. After 4 years of continuously downward trending ratings for a bunch of reasons, which I'm going to explain, she's abandoned ship. Can you blame her? You know, Doctor Who, about time travel. You know what else is pretty cool? Outer space, planets. You see, I've got a bunch back there. You ask me all the time where to get them. Check this out. One of the most common questions I get on this channel is, quite frankly, what are those sweet globes behind you and where can I get one? Well, I've been collecting MOVA globes for several years now, and I'm really happy to bring them on to the channel as a sponsor and deliver you, the viewer, a special discount code. MOVA globes are, of course, rotating globes powered by light, first of its kind technology, and it'll turn when exposed to ambient light. As you see, I'm down here in the basement in the studio and they run fully powered. There are hidden magnets that provide the movement, no batteries or messy cords required. It's also a great gift for the person that might have everything. It's an absolute conversation starter and it looks great on your bookshelf or over a fireplace or really anywhere in your house. There are over 40 designs, including world maps, outer space, and famous artworks. The Outer Space Collection, which I happen to like the best, features graphics provided by NASA and JPL and includes planets, moons, asteroids, and constellation designs. For you, my viewers, I've got a special 10% off promo code THEQUARTERING. When you go to movaglobes.com, use promo code THEQUARTERING and send me a picture with your new globe. I absolutely love these things and I'm so happy to provide a discount for you all. Hey, you guys always ask, now I got you a custom promo code, so pick up a sweet globe. Now, Doctor Who has been on what can only be described as an epic downward spiral. This in January, Doctor Who, worst ratings in 31 years for Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall. Now, I actually don't believe that this is like inherently Jodie Whittaker's fault. This is the problem of terrible writing. Doctor Who is in need of a defibrillator as the show continues to have one foot in the grave as its latest episode is the worst viewed in 31 years of its 57-year history. 57 years on television. That is a feat. Sunday's episode, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, was only watched by 4 million viewers in the UK. We have to go all the way back to season 23 in 1986 to see a lesser amount of viewers as The Mysterious Planet Part 4 only had 3.7. Sunday's episode of Doctor Who is also the eighth least watched episode of the entire run, which kicked off in 1963 and the lowest watched of the new series. The number for Doctor Who's have gone down consistently with each new episode as the series has lost nearly 1 million viewers since the debut episode of season 12 on New Year's Day. Reasons cited for the show's continued demise include bad writing, poor acting, and its quote woke approach. Fans of Rotten Tomatoes continue to slam the series that has just a 13% audience score. What would Kevin Smith say about that? Words cannot describe how bad this is. So many great years of Doctor Who, and now we get this garbage, stated one Rotten Tomatoes user. Another longtime fan chimed in, the new Doctor Who is a big disappointment. It's missing all the charm and humor of older versions. It's far too serious, and there are too many, quote, companions. The acting is middling, the direction is amateur, and the writing is nothing original. As someone who has been watching Doctor Who for 50 years, the latest Doctor is a major disappointment. Doctor Who should be fun. This version is not. No, this is not Jodie Whittaker's fault. They aren't giving her much to work with, although I'm sure she could handle the comic moments of the previous series. I'm not sure. They write. Again, this is what happens when you inject political kind of agendas into shows that are supposed to be fun. They become immediately unfunny. And yeah, that was Cosmic Book News, which we know is kind of a rumor mill site. But I mean, this is from The Sun. This is from the UK. Woke and Record. Doctor Who viewers rage at unbearable political correctness as another female doctor revealed. By the way, in none of these reviews do you see people like, a woman can't be Doctor Who. This is Jodie Whittaker's fault. No, the show is just garbage. The latest episode saw Judoon invade Gloucester in pursuit of a mystery fugitive who turned out to be none other than the Doctor. Joe, disguised as a tour guide, Ruth Clayton, grappled with amnesia in the early part of the episode until a trip to the lighthouse jogged her memory. She subsequently hopped in her very own TARDIS, armed with a laser rifle, to take the Judoon on their spaceship, to take on. This is a fair bit of confusion on Whittaker's part, given that neither of the women recognized each other, which should be the case on a linear timeline where the future Doctor would recognize the past iteration. Idiots, this is why the Doctor Who is dying, changing the canon because of PC wokeness. Doctor Who, the Ruth Doctor, is the incarnation between the second and third Doctor, explaining her police-shaped TARDIS she's fighting and on the run from the Time Lords after her trial at the end of the War Games. Oh, okay. Great to see Captain Jack Harkness, but Chris Chibnall messing with canon and being more interested in during his time with the show in checking PC boxes is well beyond tiresome. Jodie Whittaker is a gem despite his, quote, vision. I'm sorry, but no. This is going too far with the liberal BS. She cannot be an unknown female doctor because we know all regenerations. A Time Lord gets 13 lives. When is Doctor Who going to go back to proper action-packed episodes rather than full PC gone wrong and trying to teach us things? Maybe never, because we've seen a lot of television shows kind of go down this road, and they're fine. They're fine following them to doom. They're fine dooming a beloved show as long as they get their quote-unquote message out. Future episodes will no doubt unpack this further, but the response on Twitter took more issue with the inclusion of another female doctor than the intricacies of the plot. Many viewers slammed the move as one driven first and foremost by political correctness, reoccurring critique since Whittaker was cast in the role. Doctor Who has got progressively worse since Matt Smith left. It's like being back in the 80s, this time killed by PC goody-goodies, woke BS, and awful storylines, one disgruntled viewer fumed. Chris Chibnall messing with canon and being more interested in his second time on the show during his time on the show checking boxes is tiresome. I mean, yeah. I mean, having gone woke and sent BBC taxpayers broke, their solution is clearly to triple down on woke. I want my fun time traveling alien boy back. However, there were plenty of viewers who did enjoy it, of course. Because, you know, these directors, they don't really care about their own show. They don't even watch it, I don't think. I don't think they were really fans. I think that they're more concerned with Twitter's reaction. Doctor Who star Jodie Whittaker and showrunner Chris Chibnall will leave the sci-fi drama next year, the BBC has announced. The actress, 39, took over the TARDIS in 2017 as the first female doctor. She will star in the new series of the program later this year before exiting the show in a trio of specials next year. I bet you, prediction, worst ratings ever this season. Even worse than last. That's my prediction. By the way, have you subscribed yet? I really hope that you do. I'd really appreciate it. The first will air on New Year's Day 2022. The second later in spring. And the third, when the Doctor will regenerate, will air in autumn 2022 and will form part of the BBC's centenary celebrations. Whittaker described the job as the best she ever had. Well, I imagine. She had it in 2017. I opened my glorious gift box of 13 shoes. I could not have guessed what a brilliant adventure, worlds, and wonders I would see in them. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, and again, I don't blame Jodie Whittaker for the show tanking, just like I don't blame Javicia Leslie for Batwoman. It's terrible writing. It's terrible writing and being more concerned with, like, making a point or convincing people or changing people's minds than actually writing a good show. And this is why people have gone back. Like, my dudes, you know what movie I'm going to watch today? I was thinking about it last night on stream. By the way, I stream on twitch.tv/thequartering. If you want to go follow me over there, I'll be live this afternoon. Uncle Buck. Just a good old-fashioned comedy. No PC baloney. Maybe some things didn't age well, but just fun. Putting that in and watching it is going to be like actual escapism, something Hollywood has long forgot.
Chapter 4. Journalist Flora Gill suggests that adult films be made for children.
This is a real take by a journalist. A journalist with bylines at GQ, Style Magazine, Evening Standard, Grazia, The Sunday Times, and is a radio talk show host. Their pronouns, she/her. I'm not sure that backlash, instant backlash, would be the right way to describe this, but I just want to share this take by, again, a blue checkmark certified journalist. Okay? It's a journalist. And also, by the way, the daughter of a security officer in the UK. Who is Flora Gill? Twitter reacts to the journalist pitching spicy content for kids. Daughter of Amber Rude, Flora Gill recently took to Twitter with a suggestion regarding spicy content, and viewers are outraged. Who is Flora Gill? Well, I'm not sure. Why is Flora Gill trending? Surely it can't be for anything oh my God. Gill also followed up with an age clarification. So, the tweet read, someone needs to create spicy videos for kids. Hear me out. No. I think that's probably the time I'm dipping. And I would expect your name to be on a list. But she continues. Young teens are already watching this type of videos, but they're finding the really hardcore, aggressive ones that give a terrible view of the actual situation. They need entry-level videos, like softcore site where everyone asks for consent and no one gets choked. Bad enough take, all right, right? Bad enough already. Like, look, when I was younger, there was the Red Shoe Diaries and then that Wavy Line channel at about like 2 o'clock in the morning could kind of see. But you would think that that would be bad enough, but the take continued. To clarify, children means I'm talking about 14, 15, and 16-year-olds. A lot of people talking about that Flora Gill tweet, but the now-deleted follow-up was even funnier. Now, I want to show you that this is, in fact, a real tweet that was archived very early for obvious reasons, where it had just 23 likes. All 23 should probably be on a list. 51 replies. This was in the thousands by the time I saw it. I don't know. And the people like actually agreeing with this, they should be on a list too. You could see what ex-Home Secretary Amber Rudd really thinks of her 29-year-old daughter's very public bedroom life revealed in tweets about flavored rubbers and other stuff. Okay. Let's just check in on the backlash. See who, again, Flora Gill is, works for the Times, has deleted the tweets, but has posted apropos of nothing. I really think if someone quickly deletes a tweet, it shouldn't be screenshotted and shared like, just let it die, you know? No one else agree? Basically being like, I had this heinous take. Please stop asking me about it. Currently has 3.8 thousand comments to 200 likes, 1.3 thousand retweets. Ricky Berwick, this you? This is the actual purpose of the this you meme. This tweet, you mean? In most cases, yes, but come on. And then you see, freaking, is that real? Like, she deleted it and people are like, this can't be real. I assure you, it is real. We gonna just let this one slide? Like, Jacob Berry, okay, groomer. Let's double down. I don't know, like, what is she actually, like, is she, like, asking for Disney to make these type of videos? Or, like, cartoons? I don't know. What about those only just finding out that there was a shocking tweet? Bit selfish to delete it, really. Well, of course everything looks bad if you remember it. I mean, like, what is this? Here, I fixed your tweet. I mean, there is a point of, like, wokeness where you've gone so far beyond the normal possible reactions. I don't even understand. And then she blames Twitter. Absolutely not getting swept up in another Twitter cesspool, so deleted the tweet before it picks up steam. Obviously not an actual solution, but it is a real problem. Everyone take a deep breath. You're telling us to calm down? Didn't you just demand the creation of spicy videos for kids? You're vouching for CP, you sick weirdo. Let's see this. Someone needs to create this stuff. Stick in the tire. Actually, not getting swept. Like, what the heck? I don't even know. I just had to catalog this for posterity's sake. Blue check marks, really? Oh yeah, this is what kids get. The problem is kids nowadays don't have access to the entry level stuff we had in the 70s. I think I had the same stuff in the 90s, my brother. And of course, you know, the late night shows where once you really know how it looked, you wondered why she was so high up on the guy's chest. Like, the bits shouldn't have fit. But anyway, no, what is wrong with you, from Carrie Smith? Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to get on the, hey, I suggest we create spicy video for kids. Come on, guys, I just deleted the tweet. Leave me alone. Blue check marks every single time.
Chapter 5. Marvel is in huge trouble as China rejects Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Eternals.
There appears to be some very troubling days indeed ahead for the Mouse House, Disney and Marvel Studios, as movies like Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and the Eternals look to never have a chance to reproduce the box office magic that existed during the latest Avengers run, in a combination of censorious behavior, alienating your fans, and bending the knee to get that coveted approval for international release, seems to have left Western viewers feeling jilted. And there are many reasons why that is, whether it's just bad acting or writing, picking bizarre characters. You know, why are they even making the Eternals? I suppose Shang-Chi would be good, but it looks more like a generic action film than a Marvel film. But there's a lot of troubling things that are being signaled right now that we're going to get into. But before we do, absolutely massive shout out to an exciting new sponsor, Bespoke. Huge shout out to this video's sponsor, Bespoke Post. Bespoke Post is a monthly membership club delivering awesome boxes of top shelf goods from under the radar brands. Outdoor gear, barware, home and kitchen goods, clothing, and more. The box lineup changes every month, and each box has at least $70 in value, but costs just $45. One of the boxes that I got was the Carnivore box, which includes an awesome recipe for baby back ribs on the back, a rub for American barbecue, and if you're gonna be handling some ribs, you're gonna need to cut some things. So I didn't have one of these, but now I do. Another box that was sent was the Terra Kit. Inside this box, you get this awesome Terra-inspired Japanese oriori knives. This thing is really cool. And I didn't have any of these things, so I'll be using this to handle some weeds after we get some rain. It's good. And this is from Bare Bones, a company in Salt Lake City, Utah. So here's something that's American made. There's also a nice Baselight Grooming Detox Scrub Bar. I don't even know exactly what that is. This is. A bird call. How cool is that? Basically, when you go to bespokepost.com, you can take a quiz. You can tell them about yourself. You can go through. You can take some previews, get your box. So if you want to choose for men, what kind of boxes should we send you? So you have barware and mixology. You could say, I'm not interested in that. Home decor, I could say, I'm not interested in that. Accessories, watches, wallets. Sure, I'm open to try that. Men's clothing, not really interested. Cigars, yes please. Then you give a date, okay? That's it, super easy. 10 quick questions and you'll get your box of awesome stuff every month. By the way, you only pay for what you want. You'll get the box assigned to you each month based on the quiz you've taken. And before it's shipped, you'll get a preview of what comes inside the box and decide if you'd like to keep it, swap it for a different box on offer, or skip the month entirely for no charge. What an awesome feature. If you wanna check out one of these very cool boxes, head on over to the link in my description and use the promo code you find there to get 20% off your first box. When you start to get your first ones, definitely send some pictures of what you get. It seems like they have just awesome stuff, and I can't wait to get my next one in the mail. Definitely check them out for yourself or for a gift. Looks like some really awesome stuff, and it supports the channel, and everybody wins. Now, there is a couple articles out that I want to discuss. A sophomore slump, why Black Widow and Space Jam quickly sank at the box office. Movie theater owners hoped that the people getting more healthy would lead to a box office revival. Those dreams were deferred, at least for a few months. Instead, the movie theater industry is spending the second half of popcorn season, the term for the escapist fair that pops up multiplexes from May through August, grappling with an all too real situation. A worsening public health picture, one exacerbated by people who want to maintain choice about what they do with their body. A maze of day and date distribution strategies that appear to be cannibalizing ticket sales are raising concerns about the viability of a theatrical comeback. Both Disney's Black Widow and Warner Brothers' Space Jam A New Legacy suffered steeper than normal declines in their second weekends of release, with revenues falling more than 70% after opening stronger than expected results. The sign of New World Order, Black Widow, debuted simultaneously in theaters and on Disney Plus, where it was available to rent for $30. The Space Jam sequel was showing in cinemas the same time it was streaming for free on HBO Max. That means you still pay for HBO Max. The avid moviegoers who want to go to the movies are coming back, notes Eric Handler, an exhibition industry analyst. But the ramp up from here looks like it's going to be slower than we hoped. Handler notes that less passionate moviegoers had no trouble skipping theaters, opting instead to shell out a few bucks to watch it on the streaming service. HBO Max subscription in order to catch up with LeBron James and Bugs Bunny, which was a terrible movie as well. Of course, recent survey of consumers by National Research Group, 74% of respondents indicate that they're comfortable going to the movies, a 5-point drop in just the past week, and a worse result since early June. I don't think it's necessarily that reason, though. I think that ultimately, the strategy of releasing both films at the same time The fact that more people are used to movies coming out on streaming means that we can just wait for them. You know, unless it's a movie I absolutely have to see right now, which, you know, in the modern world, we don't have to. There's nothing like, it's not like Endgame and Infinity War with the Avengers, where it was like, oh my God, I got to see how this ends. We're completely starting over. We're starting off with characters that, quite frankly, huge numbers of people don't care about. I mean, quick question. Can you name more than two of the characters in the Eternals? Can you tell me about Shang-Chi's background? Yeah, I know some people can. But this isn't Iron Man, Incredible Hulk. I think that Marvel's making a huge mistake now focusing on the X-Men, because certainly Professor Xavier, Wolverine, Cyclops, Rogue, Gambit, Storm, these are characters that people know, and I would love and welcome an awesome origin story. But they can't even rely now. Shang-Chi and the Eternals may not get released in China. This is back in May, but now, if we look at in July, Black Widow, China is still preventing the Scarlett Johansson movie from releasing. This is a huge part of the market that Disney is desperate for. They've been courting the Chinese market for years, which is fickle. And, you know, Fast 9 seemed to do fine there. The film got off to a hot start in the box office, earning $13 million during its Thursday night previews in the U.S. and Canada. That's the highest in a year. And Variety reported that Black Widow made over $40 million on Friday and is on pace for more than $90 million on the opening weekend. Was on it. But Black Widow is having early success in the U.S. and other international markets. Marvel Studios' latest has yet to release in China. Historically, the China box office has been the most fruitful for Marvel films after the domestic earnings. Why hasn't it released it? Well, we don't know. In a recent article from Variety, writer Rebecca Davis wrote that China is hesitant to put foreign films in theaters while celebrating the critical 100th anniversary of the ruling party of the CCP. During July, theaters are filled with local propaganda, tribute films, along with militant censorship across the media that will likely last longer than just July. These local July releases include films like The Pioneer and Chinese Doctors. An unnamed local blogger mentioned that in June, the odds of Black Widow releasing during the anniversary month were approaching zero. They further elaborated that every main Melody propagandistic movies like Chinese Doctors are also facing strict censorship, let alone Hollywood films. Local reports speculate that Scarlett Johansson starring Black Widow could ultimately be released in mid-August, but this is an unverified source. And if you look at, you know, the passing of time between now and August, you know, people have seen the movie. Let's just put it that way. China isn't exactly well known for stopping piracy. A similar, you know, pirating situation for Mulan earlier this year resulted in, Variety found pirated videos already available on, quote, unauthorized Chinese file sharing and streaming sites. Many illegal copies come in 1080p or 4K, possible Dolby Atmos sound, and Chinese subtitles. For reference, Fast 9 has made $204 million in China since it opened on May 24th. First, Marvel Studios' most recently released film before The Black Widow, Spider-Man Far From Home, made about $199 million in China. If Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow had opened on July 9th in China, it wouldn't have come as a surprise if it made over $90 million opening weekend. However, if and when the film releases, many believe the number will be dramatically deflated due to high-definition, easy-access pirated versions of the internet. A bleak 2021 for Marvel. As previously reported, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings and the Eternals were not included in the upcoming MCU list for the CCTV 6 China movie channel. This move made any doubt that either film would have a theatrical release, made many doubt that it would ever have a theatrical release. Eternals director Chloe Zhao was born in China, but it's been critical of the country, calling it a place where there are lies everywhere. A movie partially set in China, Shang-Chi, possibly offensive stereotypes in the comics such as the villain Fu Manchu. Even though the character isn't in the film, as well as the dragon Fin Fang Foom, it doesn't seem like the Chinese government has any plans to play the movie in the country. Despite no controversy around Black Widow, it may also suffer financially from not receiving a normal China box office haul. I mean, this is a bleak future. This ring, you know, here's in July 9th, rings alarm bells. Although China's censorship authorities approved Black Widow for release back in March, Marvel has yet to offer any indication of release date of the key territory. Hong Kong, meanwhile, was actually one of the first territories in the world to release it on July 7th, thanks to its Asia time zone. A belated China release could spell trouble. Disney Plus does not operate in China. When the streaming service released the film online for a $30 fee in other territories, Friday it unleashed an easily pirated, high-definition version of the film that reached Chinese customers within hours. From today on, all kinds of pirated versions of Black Widow will begin spreading rapidly, one film blogger wrote in resignation. Even if it's released theatrically later, this will undoubtedly have a significant impact on the box office. Again, people are willing to see movies if they're really good, but I don't think what Marvel is putting out right now is very good. And ultimately, you see not very good results and a dire future for Disney and Marvel, who's bent the knee to China for so very long. I hate to say I told you so, but when you abandon the Western market for the Chinese market, we're not going to come back and we're not going to be here when you need us. So I will shed no tears for Disney or Marvel. Please make sure you check out this video's sponsor, Bespoke. There's a link in the description below. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.